Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I've brought along a special friend.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
I'm glad you come along and spoken up for yourself.
Well, you know, it sort of fills out the show a tad, you know. We'd have, with the format we run these days, it'd be hard for you to do by yourself, but you could manage, I suspect.
Probably, but I prefer not to. And so, Richard, who is our special friend that we're bringing forth this evening?
Well, it's Bach Sr., Johann Sebastian Bach, who has resonated with a few of our listeners along the way, and certainly he resonates with me. I'm a great fan of some of his music. So I think it'll be quite interesting to see what he has to say.
I think so too.
And so let me see how he presents himself to me energetically. And I find his energy quite powerful, not super strong, a mixture of love but also intelligence. I sense wisdom in the man, I suspect he had a great intellect, quite a deal of, as I say, there's quite a power, a lot of complexity. It's, you might say, wisdom sitting on top of love is my sense. That wisdom for me sits a little right of center and brings complexity. I sense he was nobody's fool is my sense, a very sharp thinker. And obviously he was very creative in a musical sense that came forth early in his life. But there is that, as I say, that strength of character about him that's quite interesting. And so I suspect he has a message for us of some sort, or hopefully so.
Let's hope he does.
So let's see what he has to say. I'm very honored to be able to come forth in this manner. It is not something that I ever sought out and have responded to the request of Carolyn to come forth for this show. It is not that I am unwilling to do so, but simply had not sought it out in any manner. And I take it as a great honor and a great opportunity to come forth in this manner, because so few souls are given the opportunity to communicate with humanity in a time long past their time of, you might say, residence upon the earth. Because from the soul's perspective, it is as if there is a brief sojourn upon the earth. The passing of a lifetime seems such a long time when you are incarnate. It could be as little as 30 odd years, or it could be as much as 80 or 90 years. But regardless, in the scheme of things, it is a relatively short sojourn in that human experience when viewed from the perspective of the soul. And so it is a great honor to be able to come forth in this manner and to shed a little light, perhaps, both on my own journey and upon your own time. As you know, I lived a long time ago in your terms. As I say, from the soul's perspective, it is not such a long time, but certainly from a human life perspective. You may know I was born in 1685, and so I effectively lived my life in the early part of the 18th century. I was 15 in 1700, and really that's in many ways where my musical life began, at about that point. And so really it was that 50-year period from around 1700 that represented my active life and my career. And I count myself as being fortunate, because I was gifted, firstly, with quite a fine, you might say, boy soprano singing voice, which was the first thing that got me started. But then, as my voice broke, I moved across into the violin in particular, but of course moved into other instruments such as the harpsichord and the organ and so on. And because I had those skills, it opened doors for me. I lived in a time when patronage for musicians and for composers was critical to one's survival, often closely connected with the activities of the church, but not only. Often there would be wealthy patrons, often royal, though not necessarily, that would make life possible for musicians and composers. And overall, excuse me, I count myself as having been very fortunate with my journey as a musician and a composer. I'm not saying it was simply a perfect path, but I do consider myself as having been fortunate to be able to have good paid employment for most of my life, and sponsorship and flexibility that allowed me to compose the music that I composed. I found composing music relatively easy, and I suspect that my experience of composing was not overly different from the stories that have come down to you with regard to Mozart. It was as if the music was given to me. Yes, I developed particular techniques for working, you might say, with that music in a, you might consider, patterned way. But even that was a gift to me. It's not like I sought it out, but rather it was a gift to me. It was as if I was getting guidance from beyond in terms of the music that I was bringing forth. And so I felt that I was, in a sense, honored and privileged to be able to bring this music forth in the way that I did. There were other great composers, in my opinion, of that time that I respected greatly. Buxtehude was one, for example, whose work that I respected greatly, and I was honored to be able to listen to him personally in my life and to witness other great musicians and composers. As history has recorded, I had quite a number of children, not all of whom survived, but I was blessed that some of my children chose also to pursue a musical career and become composers in their own right, and so have left their own mark in the musical world. Music is one of the few things where it has survived that has, you might say, preserved a record of individuals and their work. Many of you will know that a great deal of my music was lost for a time, only to be rediscovered and shared once more with the world. And so I do feel honored that that rediscovery, in a sense, was made, and your world has been drawn to honor and respect my musical output in the way that it does, because I do feel greatly honored by the depth of recognition that my music receives. Some of my organ works are very famous. Of course, the Brandenburg Concertos, as they are known, are also very famous works, and many others that have survived and been championed by many. And so I say with great humility that I am honoured that my contribution, as I say in human terms, so many years ago, has survived down to your times. The time in which I lived had its own challenges, of course. It was a not unpleasant time in the world to live. There was sufficient food. Carolyn, I'm not sure what you're doing, but it's very noisy in the microphone. If you can just be a little careful. Thank you. There was plenty of food, and in a sense, we lived a good life. As you will know from history, I lived in many different locations, but I was able to move around with relative ease within that context. And so it was not a too difficult time. Of course, the church had a great deal of power, but it was not a time when there was a tremendous amount of persecution so much by the church, at least in my experience. And so it was a pleasant enough time to be present in the world. And so I now wish to turn my thoughts to your time in the world, because I feel that even though in some ways you have far more resources available to you, that in a way your world is much more advanced in a technological sense, in other ways it has gone backwards. In my view, so much of what is coming forth as music has been severely, you might say, interfered with in a sense. Very little of it carries what I would consider true musicality. Of course, there are exceptions to this, but very little of it carries the great richness and structures that existed in my time and after my time, as time progressed through Mozart and through Beethoven and beyond. These times were great times for the writing of classical music and its preservation into your time. But, as I say, much of the music that is being written today lacks, in my opinion, the musicality that was, in my opinion, fundamental to the creation of music. It might sound strange to say music lacks musicality, but that is how I feel. There is, in many cases, a lack of melody, which is such a fundamental element of music. Even some of the structured music, you might say, that I think works in your time carries in a form a melody of sorts that comes through, but so much that is created lacks this. And if you examine the creative world on so many levels, you will find that it has been interfered with, you might say, and that it doesn't, in my opinion, simply reflect the creativity of the individuals, but rather is being created in a distorted context. Just as so much in your world has been manipulated and interfered with, so it is with the world of music and other forms of creativity. And it saddens me. It saddens me to witness this, and also to see the emergence of very powerful oppressive forces in your world, which, in my opinion, are at least as powerful as the forces that were at work in the time of the Inquisition within the Catholic Church. And so it is, in my opinion, a very dark time in your world. And in many ways, you are living in a time when it is getting rapidly darker. But I also hold the view that this darkness will be swept away, that there will emerge, and I know a number that will be listening to this are connected to such change. There will be change that comes forth in your world that will sweep this darkness away and give humanity the opportunity to step out of the grip of these people. They have not yet completed all they wish to do to impose upon humanity, and so it will continue to be a challenging time for a while yet, but the doors to a brighter future for humanity will emerge in the near term. And so I am optimistic about the future of the human experience, even though I am saddened to see the challenges that are currently being imposed upon humanity, for only the reason that those who control your world have the ability to deprive the rest of humanity and are doing so. And so these are my thoughts, my friend. And again, I thank you for the opportunity to come forth in this manner and express these words to all who may listen.
Thank you so much, the two of you, Richard and Mr. Bach. I have a question about your monad. Is your monad dedicated to music? Is this a direction that it wishes to pursue?
My monad has sent forth many fingers of consciousness that have a focus on music. And so, yes, I would say that my monad does have an interest in music, and not only on the earth plane, but indeed other areas of the cosmos and in many dimensions. So, yes, I would agree with your suggestion that my monad has a very strong musical bias.
So is it true that there is a finger of consciousness right now that your monad has sent to Earth that's involved in music?
There is a finger of consciousness that is present upon the Earth that is engaged in music. And it is one of the reasons that I am so aware of the state of music in your current world, because that finger of consciousness gives me a much more direct connection with what is unfolding in your world.
Thank you. I noticed in reading some information about you that there was a time in your life when you were blind, and I'm wondering how you coped with that hardship.
The ability to see is critical for many of the things that you do in life. But as you saw, Beethoven found ways to work with his deafness. And so, especially when you have had the skills in the past, you find ways to cope and to deal with these limitations. And so I was able to do this.
Thank you. I ask this question because there are people today who have limitations. Can you give them any advice as to how to go forward and work with those limitations?
My words apply to everyone, because everyone in the world is faced with restrictions and limitations of some sort, and are called upon on a level to transcend their circumstances, whether it be blindness or deafness or some other affliction. We in life always have limitations, you might say, that are part of our experience when we are young. And so It is a matter of choosing a path and bringing commitment and desire and intention to the unfolding of a path in life, you might say, that accommodates whatever limitations you might have and takes advantage of the skills and abilities that you possess. No one in life who is successful in life does so because they are simply taking advantage of some gift that has come their way. Of course, those who are highly gifted are able to pursue certain paths that others may not, but nevertheless, they will have had to apply themselves to take advantage of those gifts if they are truly to be successful. And so my advice to everyone, not only those who are suffering from some obvious condition like deafness or blindness, to choose a path in the world which will see you move forward in a manner that is satisfying to you, that brings you joy, that brings you satisfaction, and takes advantage of the skills that you have, and also work hard in what it is that you are passionate about and want to drive forward. That is the key to a successful life for anyone.
Thank you. Is it fair to say that we have to work through these difficulties to become stronger, to live life to its fullness by overcoming these problems?
In a sense, it is part of the human challenge, the human existence, you might say, to come forth with a limited understanding of who and what you are or we are as a soul, and to walk the human journey. When you start out in life, you have very little awareness of who and what you truly are walking that journey. And so it is indeed an inherent aspect of the human journey to be faced with, you might say, challenges as you walk forward to understand yourself and also to find a path in the world that is of benefit to you and of benefit to others. It is very much part of the human journey.
Thank you so much. I would like to invite any of our listeners out there now who have a question to call into us to receive an answer. So this would be a good time to open up to these calls. Did you have any questions for Mr. Bach, Richard?
I guess a question I would have is, what does he see as being his greatest legacy to the world? I consider my greatest legacy to be the power of my music to bring calmness, to bring peace to the listeners to my music. Some people have understood this, that there is, you might say, something of a meditative aspect to my music. The patterning of it in many cases was structured to direct the listeners, you might consider, brain patterns, brain waves, if you will, in a particular direction to produce, in many cases, a level of calmness. It is not so obvious because some aspects of it is very rapid, very rhythmical in a sense that it is quite often high-paced, but yet there is that calming thread that is embedded in the music. And in my opinion, it is one of the reasons that my music has, you might say, experienced such a resurgence in your world since its rediscovery, because it serves that purpose in an unconscious manner for so many people who listen to it. They don't understand what it is that they enjoy about it. And so I consider my greatest legacy that gift in such a challenging and difficult time in which you find yourselves, where having time to yourself, having calmness, having peace is such a challenging thing to find in your world. So I consider that to be my greatest legacy.
Thank you. Are you saying that your music would be good to meditate with?
For some, it would be helpful to meditate with. Others would find it to be, in a sense, too fast-paced. It is not that I was saying that necessarily it is good to meditate with, but rather it is, in a sense, producing the benefits of calmness, if you will, as people listen to the music. My words might sound a little contradictory, but they are not really. In a sense, I see my music as being somewhat complementary, if you will, to the more traditional meditative processes. So, for example, if someone meditates, they are likely to also find joy in listening to my music when they are going about their other activities in the world. So in a sense, I see it as being more complementary to the traditional meditative process, where I would encourage people to perhaps consider using silence when they meditate.
Thank you. Would you say that listening to your music would help build energy in the body?
I would say that my music would help to build positive energy in the body and also to help clear negative, stressful energies from the body. In a sense, my music breaks up the stressful and negative energies in the body and helps to clear them. So, yes, I would say that is so.
I think that's fascinating. You had children that seemed like they were all involved with music. Tell me what that must have been like in your household with so many of the family being involved in music.
Firstly, it was sad that some of our children did not survive. But having children who were as enthusiastic about music as I was truly a great joy. And it is as if there was always someone playing music of some sort in the house, working on practice, working on composing, simply playing music for the joy of the experience. So it is as if great joy was in the household as a result of our shared interest in music.
Thank you. What suggestions might you give to parents who might want to turn their children towards enjoying music and becoming more involved with music?
Firstly, I would encourage parents to play music to their children and to share their interest in music, if they have an interest in music, with their children. And if they are drawn to play a particular instrument, to encourage them and maybe to help them get started in music, encourage them with a particular instrument. But I do not encourage the process of forced training, you might say. If a child wants to play an instrument or they wish to compose, it will, in a sense, express itself from them. It is not something that ultimately you will impose upon them, but rather they will grasp for the opportunity. And if they do it in that manner, they are far more likely to pursue it with a passion. Inevitably, when a child develops an interest in music or some other thing that involves a skill that requires training and coaching and so on, then it requires a fair involvement from the parent to support it. And it is important that parents support and encourage those interests, but in my view, it is not appropriate to enforce or impose this upon your children. It just, in a sense, discourages them ultimately from pursuing that path, because they will spite you, you might say, by choosing other than. And so go with their preferences, go with their choices. In my case, my children were drawn to my love of music, and it simply, you might say, bubbled out of them as a result. And this, in my opinion, is the preferred approach. So as parents, I would encourage you to provide a musical context for your children at home and allow them to decide whether they wish to be part of that. And if you play an instrument of some sort, play it in their company and share music through friends that you have who also play instruments, and play music at home. I think that is the most powerful way to encourage children to engage in music on their own terms.
Thank you. Can you give us some thoughts as to the effect on the human body to sing or to hum?
The singing voice is something that is appreciated by the listener where that voice has great skill and ability. And again, the individuals who are listening in most cases do not appreciate that the singing is actually impacting their body rather than just their listening to it. Yes, they react with a joy and an appreciation to the singing voice when it has quality and tone and so on. And what it is doing is triggering an emotional response in the body. And most people are unaware of the power and importance of emotion in the body and its role in determining the physicality of the body on so many levels. And so there is that positive impact in the listener. Now, when you come to the individual themselves, inevitably people who pursue singing as a career do so out of the joy of the experience of singing, and it too has a great impact on their physical body. And you raise the subject of humming. Again, the process of producing that vibration, whilst it is different from the more complex process of cultivating and developing the singing voice and its impact in the physical form, the process of humming can be a very powerful tool in clearing negative energies. Again, it helps to trigger balanced emotion in the body. It helps to free up blocked energies in the body. And so humming a particular vibration can have, or a particular frequency, can have a powerful impact in helping to clear and balance the body. It is why there is in many meditative practices the use of what is considered to be the name of God by some, the Om sound. Truly, the reason for the use of that is its power in clearing and supporting the physical form.
It sounds to me, from what you're saying, that this has a great healing aspect on the physical body.
That is correct. It helps to, as I said, clear negative energies from the body and helps to clear places where energy flows are blocked in the body. Many people do not understand that there are powerful energy flows, energy pathways in the body, and these can become blocked and they can cause illness. And so the use of the humming action, if you will, can help to clear such blockages in the energy pathways in the body.
I want to thank you so much for all of this wonderful information that you have given us. Richard, do you have any further questions of Mr. Bach before he leaves?
I don't think so. It's kind of hard to chase questions and bring you forth at the same time.
Yes, I'm sure that it is. Well, thank you, Mr. Bach. Thank you, Richard, for all that you have done and do. And Richard, for those who might want to get our emails with regards to future shows, what can they do to get these emails?
They just go to our website called the 2012 countdown.com. Go to any page on that website, enter your name and your email address and hit enter, and everything else will be taken care of. You'll receive an email which you need to confirm. I'm sure you've all experienced those confirmation systems, and you will be added to that list.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Now, did you have something that you wanted to discuss about the future work that we might be doing?
Well, specifically, I just wanted to remind people of the Key Past Life session work that Carolyn does. They are amazing sessions. Essentially, what Carolyn does is guide you to a particular lifetime. Each of the lifetimes, in a sense, is viewed as a circle, and these circles sit one on top of the other. And so Carolyn has you hop in a glass-walled lift and ride up to a particular lifetime, and that lift stops at a lifetime chosen by your soul. And so that lifetime is one chosen by your soul that has, you might say, input for you or guidance for you. Very often it is a lifetime where you've had a particular skill that is relevant to you in this lifetime, or that soul aspect wishes to share a skill with you in this lifetime and wishes to open up a connection with you so that you develop that skill more strongly in this lifetime. So it's quite a fascinating process. And what fascinates me is that as you come to that lifetime and step out of the lift, Carolyn is able to witness your past life along with you and guide you through that process. She sees it right there, just as you do. It's quite extraordinary. So that process is there. Again, you can find that on our 2012 Countdown website. You'll find a link there to that, and I'll share it in the email that I share when I notify you of this recording. And also, we've decided that anyone that orders one of those Key Past Life sessions in the next 2 weeks will receive a free ebook of your choice. So when you order that, simply let me know which ebook that you would like, and you can find those again. There's a page called Carolyn's eBooks, which is on that website. You can see them all listed there. They're not all Carolyn's eBooks. There's some shared ones and so on. So just let us know what you would like to receive when you place your order.
Thank you, Richard. Roger from Nashville is on line one. Roger, what can we do for you?
Hi, Richard and Carolyn and Mr. Bach. Great to hear you all again.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, how are you all? I feel like I've been missing in action, but I'm here. just to get away from the music, I was reading some interesting articles the other day, and I don't know if he would like to comment on it, but those people that are residing in the inner earth they've been wanting to talk to people here on the outer earth, and I'm kind of finding it a little strange as to where we are in terms of the way things are happening in the world. And of course, the other thing is this a coincidence with rejuvenation so close at hand?
I'm not sure exactly what you're saying, Roger. Are you saying that is the desire for those that are inside the earth and the inner earth, the fact that they want to communicate with us now, is that in some manner connected with impending rejuvenation? Is that your question?
That's exactly it, yeah.
Let's see what he has to say about this. There are beings that live inside the earth, and as some of you understand, they arise from the Lemurian time, and there are great wisdom teachers, wisdom holders that live within the earth. And those from Lemurian time did not carry the hard physical body that you carry today, and so those beings do not have a physical form that ages in the way that your physical form has done. And there have been some of those beings that have had contact with some of humanity over long periods of time. For example, some of the druids would work with some of these beings deep inside the earth, and there have been other groups that have worked with, you might say, some of these great wise guides that exist within the planet. So in a sense, there has been contact, albeit in a limited manner. And that continues today. There are some that live on the surface of the earth who communicate with those on the inside of the planet. And so this is not exactly new. And as events unfold, those who participate with that process, those that live in that inner earth dimension, you might say, will participate in the planned unfolding shift. And so, in truth, there will be a lot more contact, if you will, between those individuals who live inside the planet and those who participate in the unfolding shift in consciousness, you might say, that is in the process of getting started on the planet. So there will be a growing level of contact as this unfolds.
What a fascinating answer. Roger, thank you for asking that question.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was amazing. Well, Richard, we're getting very close to the end of the show. Did you want to make any more mention about people working with the past lifetime of their, what we were talking about?
I think I've covered that off, Carolyn.
Okay.
And I also remind people of the Q&A session that I discussed last week that I've made sent out an email on during the week and set up the link to. A few people have expressed interest in that, and we're in the process of setting up those sessions. And so I just remind you of that. Again, I'll put another link to it when I send out the email with the recording. So those sessions really are the opportunity to ask Carolyn and or I anything that you wanted to ask about, including of beings in other dimensions, maybe one of the masters or someone that you know that's crossed over, a loved one, a parent, grandparent, whatever, friend. And you don't have the ability yourself to make that connection, then, of course, we can include that as part of that session. So really it's a free-form thing to do whatever you want to do with the session. And I, as I said, I was really triggered to do that because we've had a number of questions from people about having that kind of opportunity. So I will just remind you of that for the future.
I just want to add to that that people truly are interested in loved ones who have crossed over, if they are happy, how they are fulfilling their time. And this is a marvelous opportunity to speak to those loved ones and just find out where they are and how they feel and what they're doing. It's wonderful.
Indeed it is.
Richard, we're at the end of our show.
Hmm.
An hour goes by pretty fast when you're having fun.
And so, Carolyn, I thank you for all that you do. And I thank Johann Sebastian Bach for joining us tonight with his
Absolutely.
Insights and his information and his perspective.
And I'd like to thank you especially for your work, Richard. We couldn't do it without you. And
thank
while
you.
We're talking about that, I'd like to thank those at BBS for taking care of us.
Indeed.
Thank you.
And so, good night for now.
Good night for now.